Let the church say amen. Isn't that what it's all about, trying to live with our Father in heaven? That's what we're all here for this morning, trying to make our way to heaven. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. This morning, I want to say good morning to everyone and thank you all for being here with us this morning, of course. And we know that there are many places you could have chosen to be this morning, but you have chosen to be with us. And so for that, we are grateful and we thank you. And before we go any further, let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, this is your day to call and your day to give, and you have given us this day. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have blessed and lengthened out our lives that we can be a part of this day. Even though we're not promised to make it through this day, at least we've seen a portion of this day, and we thank you. We pray for the church, especially the local congregation, and we pray for the leaders here in the congregation as well as their families. We pray for each and every member here as well as their family as well. We pray for those who may be going through difficult times now, and difficult times seem to be a pretty relevant issue right now. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you can get us through these kinds of times. We thank you for those who may be sick and shut in, and we're praying for those who may be in the hospital, those who may be at home, and those this morning, O Heavenly Father, that are without. We thank you so much, Father, for everything you do for us. We pray and thank you, Father, for giving us your Son, Jesus, who because he lived, died, and lives on, we can live on as well. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in attendance here this morning, and we thank you for those who may be on their way. We are praying for those who may be traveling as well this morning, that you would give them safe passage to and from their destinations, that they may be with us once again, Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this world in which we live, that they may make the right rules and regulations, that we may continue to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all that you have done, all you continue to do, and all that you shall do for us. Father, for we pray this morning for those who are raising their children, especially the families in our neighborhoods, O Lord. We pray that everything would be well with those parents, and that we pray for the husbands and the wives, that they may continue to enjoy peaceful coexistence, and that they will raise their family up in the right manner. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything and all things. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, that we continue to pray and ask it all. Let us all say amen. This morning, from the book of 1 Peter, the verses number 18 and verse number 19, as was read for your hearing, we want to look at a subject from verse number 19 there. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. This morning, we want to talk about our precious Lord. The church today has the monumental responsibility to feed the Word of God to all. We must feed it as it is and as it's meant to be. Christians also need the Word of God. We need the Word of God in order that we may grow and stay spiritually healthy. But the world needs the Word in order to, first of all, even know Christ. In the text today, we find a word that stands out, and that word is precious. According to Webster, that word means something of great value, something that is prized, something refined. And if you would take notice, the word precious is used to describe the blood of Christ. So as we look at 1 Peter this morning and those that 18th and 19th verse of the first chapter, Peter speaks of the precious blood of Christ. So his blood is precious. His blood has been shed. Blood has been shed throughout the history of the world. In Genesis chapter 4, we find the blood of Abel as Cain killed his brother, in order to causing his blood to cry out from the ground to God. In 2 Samuel, in chapter 11, we find King David had caused a man's death. He had tried to cover up one sin with another sin. Stephen was was also someone who shed his blood. When he was stoned to death, now many soldiers in this world today are still shedding their blood. In many wars, to the families of their loved ones, blood was precious to them. But I tell you today, church, no blood, all the blood that has been spilled in this world, all of the people that have lost their lives and shed their blood, none was more precious than one drop of blood of Jesus Christ. And I know that the blood of a loved one, when it sheds, it leaves empty feelings, it leaves deep pains and deep scars in many of our families. But the blood of Christ was shed not for just one or two families, but for all families, not just a few families. The Bible tells us that that Christ was born into this world. In Matthew chapter 1, in the verses number 23, the Bible says, "He being born of a virgin, and his name will be Emmanuel," which means God with us. "His blood was the price of our redemption," in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22, we find that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And while we're visiting right there, we just may want to remember something there. We just want to remember that when we go into the watery grave of baptism, we're going into that watery grave for the remission of our sins. And Jesus' blood was divine. Now, I know everybody has blood, and blood may spill from any of us at any time, but Jesus' blood was divine. And that word divine means that it proceeds from God. It refers to the Godhead. For us, in a more general sense, it means to serve God, as in Romans 12 and verse 1, where the Bible tells us to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I know that there are those who have given up their blood. I know that there are those who have given their blood, the blood of their loved ones has been given also. But blood could not buy our salvation from sin. Even your blood, even my blood as a Christian, nor the blood of anyone can save us from our sins. But the blood of Christ is so precious. Look what he says in verse number 19 there again. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." In other words, his blood was perfectly precious and perfectly pure. The blood of Christ does so much for us. Blood could not buy salvation unless it came from the body of Jesus Christ. No matter how much blood has been spilled over the years, only the blood of Christ can save us from our sin, save us basically from ourselves. So when you think about it, church, the Lord is precious. The Lord is very precious to all of us. And I know when we think of precious things, we think of valuable things. Well, Jesus is valuable to us. When we think of precious, we think of something that's usually we think of something that's small and cute. But the blood of Christ, one drop of the blood of Christ spilled out and saved this world from its sin. Not only is the blood of Christ precious, but our faith is precious. We see that same word again, precious. Faith is so precious. According to 2 Peter chapter 1. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." In Hebrews chapter 11, in order for us to please God, we must have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So what does that mean, preacher? What are you saying? We all can made to be the Bible will teach us all to become believers if we just study God's Word. And I know that there are some who might say, well, I've went in the Bible and I've been from cover to cover, and I'm still not a believer. Well, that's because you haven't really read it. You've looked at it from cover to cover. But when you read God's Word, there is so much in the Word of God that can teach you to become a believer. Faith is precious. Faith challenges us to believe. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith cannot be touched, as I've told you before. It cannot be tasted, and it has no color or no smell. You can't go and buy and take your gift card and buy a box of faith. It just doesn't work that way. Faith is not gender-oriented. Men cannot necessarily have any more faith than for themselves than a woman can have for herself. Faith cannot dress up and become good-looking faith. Faith is faith, and we must learn that faith is precious. But through faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3, it's through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Faith is precious, church. Faith is something we need to learn to hold on to. Faith must be received and held on to as we get further in our lives. Faith seems to become more important to us than it once was. Faith, if you will, is a stepping stone to Christ. Faith is a stepping stone, and it's a good place to step when you're on your way to heaven. If you don't think that faith is important, think about what God did for us or has done for us and continues to do for us. And I believe that the world, that the things which are made, were seen are not made of things which do appear. The earth, the stars, the sun, the moon are made by God, not as the scientific world would have us to believe with their atoms, their electrons, and their neutron, and all their scientific data and the likes. They've never been able to explain how the sun knows its daily path from the east to the west, and it never, ever gets lost along the way. Science can never explain to me how that the stars can hang so perfectly glued in the midnight sky, shining night after night. They can't explain it, church. But I can explain it. It's God created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in it and on this world, on this earth, I should say. Stars and the moon and the sun and the sky. All of these things are part of God's creation. Why do even the stars obey Him? Because He made them according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 17. So faith is precious. Faith means not only believing that God can, but that also that He will if He wants to. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and that's very tiny, but if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain according to Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 20. In other words, if you pray and ask God for something, you ought to have enough faith to think that God will deliver something to you. So in other words, if you pray for rain because it hasn't rained in a long time, if you pray for rain, that same faith that you pray for rain for in, the faith that you have that you pray for rain, you ought to also have enough faith that if you go out, you ought to carry your umbrella with you. When you think about it, church, when you look at what we go through on a daily basis as human beings, how the world has changed so very much. I was talking to someone just the other, actually it was my sister. I was talking to my sister just the other day, and she went way back, farther back than I care to go back. But she went way back and she started naming things and she said, hasn't the world changed? I said, it sure has. She said, do you remember we could go outside and we could play and we could just enjoy ourselves in the yard, but now you can't send your children out in the yard and play anymore. Not unless you're standing right there with them and preferably with a magnum. But I know that many of us believe in God and we trust in God and we pray to God to ask Him to grant us our daily needs. And it's faith that gets us through these times. And it's faith that gets us through these days. And it's faith that helps us. And back to that example, if you ask for rain, I'll give you a good example. Do you remember over in the book of Genesis where God told Noah to make a certain style of a boat. He gave him the blueprints because he said he was going to destroy the earth. And he promised that he was going to make it rain for 40 days, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Do you remember that? Even though the world had never seen rain, God can bring the possible out of the impossible in man's mind. But when you think about it, church, look at the text again. The text says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That means there was nothing wrong with it. There was no blemish in Christ's blood. You know, when we draw our blood, and I don't know how many of you, how often you go to the doctor, but every time the doctor talks about drawing blood, I cringe up. Every time the doctor says, well, you got to go to the lab. And I said, why? I just went a few months ago. But when that doctor takes your blood, and I'm one of those people, I like to sit there and watch them what they're doing. And I had one lady one time who was taking my blood, and she was on her cell phone. And the needle kind of just dangling in my arm. And so I finally said, hey, you want to get back to the business at hand here? Because when you take your blood, you are giving up part of your lifeline. Isn't that right, church? And your blood is good to be in your body. But yes, it's good to know what's going on in your blood. And I'm one of those who just believe if you take my blood and you don't find nothing wrong with it, why do you need to take more of it? And I had to take some blood just not too long ago, and they called me back in. They said, your blood didn't clot right. And I wanted to know whose fault that was. And they said, so you have to come back and do this all over again. Well, I'm not for doing it all over again, but I went back, of course, and everything worked out okay. But just what I'm trying to show you is that just the blood that's in your body is so very important to your life, but the blood of Christ in our lives is even more important than the blood in our veins, the blood that runs through our veins. So not only is the blood of Christ without spot or without blemish, and not only is Christ perfect and precious, but also our trials are precious. And 1 Peter, look at verses 1 and 7. In verse number 7, the Bible says of 1 Peter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish. See that, church? I know gold is way up in price today, but that gold is going to perish. When it perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith and our trials are precious. Trials are more precious than gold. Trials make us strong. And I know sometimes when we're going through them, we say, how would this make me strong? This is making me worse off than I used to be yesterday, than I was yesterday. But trials make us strong because it teaches us to mature. It matures us, if you will. It matures us. It matures us in to make us understand things a little better. But the Bible says in James, go to James with me, if you will. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look at starting at verse number 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Didn't I tell you it makes you patient? But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, and I know some of us, we need faith. We need patience. Some of us don't have enough patience to get from here to the back door. It takes too long, we might say, to walk to the back door. I'd rather drive to the back door. That's the attitude of some people. I can't wait that long. It has to happen right now. But things don't happen when you want them to happen. They happen when, if you ask God, you have to let Him make it happen. Why ask God if you're going to try to make it happen in the first place? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible teaches us about these sufferings that we go through. As sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolations also abound by Christ. So what are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm simply saying the more suffering for Christ you go through, the more He will comfort you, or as the Christians say, as the Scriptures say, console you, a consolation. Nothing teaches like experience. When you speak from your own trial, you can fortify others and let others know of the precious priorities that God has given us in this life. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says His promises are precious. God has made many promises in the Bible. Some of them may not apply to us, but there is one that we all need to know about. There's one that I prefer that we should all keep in the back of our mind. In Hebrews chapter 13, in the verses number 5, it says, "For be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In other words, if you got something and you ask God to give you more, you've got to learn, first of all, to be content with what you have. Oh, I know we always want more. We always want more. I mean, that's pretty much the theme song for us as humans. More, more, more. And, but the Bible says, be content for what you have. You have Christ in your life. Now, does that mean that you can go down to Jewel and shop with Christ? No, it means that you need to do something in order for Christ to help you out. Get you a job and then you can go to Jewel and shop. Or get some money, I should say. He will be there when the smoothness of our skin begins to wrinkle up and age becomes a distant memory of you. And you know what I mean if you've gotten a few years older. When you've gotten a few years older, your skin starts to act a little bit different. He will be there in our hour of need when the lifting of our hand causes us great pains and suffering. The stiffness of the knees causes us difficulty in walking. He will be there to pace our steps. He will even be there when the death watch comes. He will be there in reality when friends simply say, I can't do this. I can't take this anymore. The Lord will be there. Oh yes, church. The Lord will be there when your good looks will no longer get you the best seat in the house. Our precious Lord has a space for you. When one realizes that his wealth cannot purchase true peace, hopefully it won't be too late to see how precious Jesus really is. When you have begun to realize that your money won't buy your youth back. Oh yeah, you can fool yourself with beauty treatment, but age keeps rolling on. When your hair won't stay the color it used to be, no matter how much dye you use, age keeps rolling on, but the precious Lord will be there. When your 10-minute walk has turned to a 30-minute difficult chore, it's time to accept the fact, as Paul put it in Philippians chapter 4 in the verses number 11. He said, I have learned, church. The Bible will teach you to learn, church. God's Word is a learning process. He said, I have learned whatsoever state I'm in. Whatsoever state I'm in. I want you to notice this part, church. He said, I have learned to be content. Isn't that right, church? Isn't that what he said? Can't you just see Paul right now? If he got up in the morning and went out and his car wouldn't start, he didn't stop working for the Lord. He continued. He walked to work. If it was cold outside, he would bundle up and go on. He had learned to be content because he added in verse number 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Some of us need to stop complaining. Some of us need to stop complaining and realize how precious life truly is and how and what God really means to us. Our Lord is precious because He loves us unconditionally. He still loves us unconditionally. Our Lord is precious because He washed us in His own blood. And finally, church, because one day He is coming back for us. And I tell you, church, there are some things in this life that I, as well as you, don't like. But I tell you, if you trust in the Lord and trust with all your heart, God will get you through some of those things. And some of those things you bring up on yourself. You bring some of those things up on yourself. For he will be there when the dirt shall be thrown on you and your life comes to an end and your priorities become more precious as you age in this life. And chaos becomes a ruler in your life. Well, you can count on the Lord to get you through those times. And I tell you, church, I just love what the Lord has done for us. I just love what the Lord has done for us because I don't know where we would be without what He has done for us and what He is still doing for us. And I tell you, church, sometimes things get kind of bad on us. Sometimes things seem to just mount up on us. Have you ever had a day or a time in your life when nothing seems to go right? Nothing seemed to be just what you wanted it to be. You can't get the way you want to get to because you have no way to get there and you have no money to get there even if you had a way to get there. Have you been in the situation where every time you open your mouth, it seems as though something comes out wrong? Have you ever been in a situation where when the world seems to be going that way, and you seem to be going right behind them, and you need to get yourself back to go back this way? I tell you something, church. God can fix all of that. God can fix all of those things. And I know for some of us, trusting God is a big fix for us. My time is almost up. Don't fret. Learning to trust in God is hard for some of us because we've been so used to doing things our own way. And we say that I just can't see how God can make it any different than I can make it. Well, you've got a problem. If you don't think God can do what you can't do, you've got a problem. If you don't see God being able to fix what you can't fix, there's a problem. If you don't see God being able to take care of what you can't take care of, there's a problem. But we have to learn that the Lord is precious. He's precious to us. Our precious Lord. Our precious Savior. Our precious God and Savior who lives in heaven. And I remember how precious it must have been for the Lord on that day when they were stoning Stephen to death. Because he was precious enough that he got up from sitting at my Savior's side. He got up from my Lord and Savior's side and he looked down on this earth. And that tells me something, church. If he cared that much for Stephen, just how much does he care for the rest of us? And then, when I look at my own life, I can't give an example of your life. I can only give an example of my life. When I look at my own life, I know that there's been some ups and there's been some downs in my life. I know I had more downs when I wasn't with the Lord than I had ups. But now I seem to have more ups. Now that doesn't mean I don't have any downs, but it means I've got more ups than downs right now. And if you want to have more ups in your life, you need to look up, think up, and stay up. And then, when I realized, I've told you this story before, but I realized that when I left the church, and I was out for all of those years, and I said myself one day, my youngest son said, he asked his mom, he said, Why do we have to go to church and he doesn't go? And that put me to thinking. I thought about it.